Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hi, folks. Welcome back to Close Up Radio. Nice to have you with us today. I'm excited. We're going to talk to a psychic, a medium. We do this periodically. I love talking to people who have these great abilities because I find it pretty fascinating, and I know our audience does. Whenever we go on, there's always a long line of people who've called in who want to talk because they want information about what's going to happen to them, or they have all kinds of questions. And where else can you go to get this kind of information but to a psychic or a medium? And, you know, mediums can do a lot of things. They can communicate with those who've passed on, you know, give you information about maybe what's going to happen in your career or your love life, whatever. And amazingly, oftentimes it turns out to be dead on accurate. And I can tell you from experience myself years ago, after having interviewed a psychic medium on television, I was so impressed with her, and I'd never had a reading myself. I went to see her, and I was blown away by what she told me, totally blown away. And what she told me happened to turn out to be true. So that's all I can tell you. Sometimes, you know, if the psychic medium is good, they can be very accurate. Maybe there are some who aren't that great. I don't know. But I know that I've always been impressed with them. So I think you're going to be impressed with who we talk with today. Let me just preface this a little bit. You know, if you've lived a good life and you've loved people who've loved you too, grief, unfortunately and inevitably, will be part of your life. To move forward in your lives and your relationships and your careers, you must all confront your grief and the confusion that accompanies grief. Unfortunately, they're not the feelings that you can easily resolve. It's your heart, not your heads, that are hurting. Sharing space with a person in grief is really deeply profound and requires qualities that not everyone shares. Our guest, Lisa Adornado, is a psychic medium. She's a psychic investigator, an empath, and a Reiki practitioner who offers quality psychic readings from the comfort of your own home. Her goal is to give her clients whatever it is they need. It could be insight into their career or their love life or their family. It could be connecting with a loved one. She is just the link in the chain in their path. And as a psychic medium, she can commute with the deceased. It's interesting because prior to embracing her psychic ability, she was a pharmacist. She says she always saw things and knew things when she was a kid, but she shut it down because it scared her mother. She said still she has always wanted to help people, and that's why she pursued medicine. But the times she was able to really make a difference were few and far between. So as she progressed further in her pharmacy career, a level of dissatisfaction kind of crept up, and she started to have physical problems as well. So she began to explore alternative therapies, which resurfaced her psychic abilities. And that is why she became a psychic medium doing what she does today. I'm going to get her to explain that to you. I could tell you more, but I think it's more interesting to hear it from her. She's an amazing lady, and she's based in Camillus, New York. That's interesting. That's a new town for me. I'm not familiar with Camillus is. So anyway, let's bring Lisa on. I think you're going to find this truly amazing, and I'm looking forward to it. So our guest again is Lisa Adornado. She has a great website. I'll give you that as we go along. So let's say good afternoon to Lisa Adornado. Lisa, welcome. Nice to have you with us today. How are you?
I'm great. It's nice to be here.
Okay, cool. You know, I started to explain you were a pharmacist. You wanted to help people, but it wasn't working for you as a pharmacist. Did you finish college? Not college, but get your degree in pharmacology and then become like a pharmacist in a drugstore or something like that? Is that what your path was?
Yes, exactly. I've been licensed now almost 30 years in New York. I'm based out of Syracuse, and Camillus is a suburb of Syracuse. And so I've been licensed a long time as a pharmacist, but slowly it became less and less satisfying personally to me working in a pharmacy. And really, you know, my goal was to always to help people, and that kind of seemed to fall off more and more as I progressed in my career, where it wasn't really what I thought it was going to be, I guess.
So then what did you do? You explain to me, you used to see things when you were a child. You shut it down because it scared your mom, but you knew you had these abilities. Talk to me a little bit more about your decision to become a professional psychic and a medium,
well,
you know, and help people.
When I was a kid, I always knew things that were going to happen, or I saw things that what they thought weren't there. And but I knew things that were going to happen, and I'd say it. You know, when you're a kid, you have no perspective. You think everyone's like you are. So I didn't realize that not everybody was like that. And I could tell even as a young child that it scared her. And so I just would keep it to myself, or I felt different, and I just kind of blocked it, really. And I did that for a good chunk of my life, where, I mean, I did have good insight into people and I had really good intuition, but I really didn't embrace that like I really should have, and really accepted myself the way I should have. And when I was in my early 40s, I did have some physical problems that made it difficult to work. And I went to the doctor, and I'm also a pharmacist who does not like to take medication. And
right.
I only got partial relief from the medicine. So I explored some alternative therapies, and I began meditating for stress relief. And when I did that, I became so open, like when I was a child again. But at this point in my life, being an adult, I really could handle it, because when you receive so much energy, sometimes it is overwhelming. So I was at the point where I could handle it emotionally, psychologically, and also at the point where I could really accept myself. Like, you know, I don't know why I shut this down all these years, because this is always who I was. And the way I can help people now as a psychic is giving them insight. And many times they really want to connect with a dead loved one. And when I can do that and give them that kind of peace, and it is profound. The feeling from them is just profound. And it's so gratifying to me to be able to give that to them.
Let me ask you something. How did you learn that you were able to commute with people who have passed on? How do you discover that? Or did you study this somewhere to learn how to do that?
No, I always kind of could do it. You know, I always had people showing up in my room when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I just kind of ended up blocking it out. I think that my spirit guides maybe helped with that as well, because I don't think I was ready to handle it. And then as I became so open, it just became part of my life, where I'm channeling spirit almost constantly now. I have my guides around me all the time, and I'm constantly channeling. And it's not something I really learned how to do as much as I just could do it. It wasn't something that wasn't a skill that I had developed. It was an innate ability that I just had.
See, I find that fascinating. I'm impressed with people who have the ability you do. Not everybody can do that, as you know. It's rare. And talk to me a little bit about the reaction that people get when you commute with or you put them in touch with someone who has passed over. What kind of reaction do you get from them after it? I'm wondering, how does it help people to talk to someone that has passed on? And not only that, but are you also, I know you're the vessel, you know, they're communicating
right.
through you, communicating through
mm-hmm.
you. Are you aware of what's being said? Or, you know, are you that alert to know what's coming out of your mouth?
Sometimes I'm alert to it. Sometimes I'm not. And the reason why, sometimes the information just comes in and comes right out of my mouth and I deliver the information. But what I can remember at times is when they have a really strong emotional reaction to whatever it is I'm saying. And when that happens, I do remember what I'm saying. Sometimes I remember just snippets of it. And sometimes I don't, like the next day, I remember I spoke with them. But I really don't remember the essence of our conversation at all. I'm literally the channel. It comes in and it passes right through me. But it's the reaction that the people have that makes me really remember. When I speak with someone that they loved so deeply and profoundly, and they're hearing from them, and there's always something. I'm always worried that I'm not going to get something, but I always get something where I can say something, and it means, like, absolutely nothing to me personally. But when I say it, like, they know that that person is in the presence, and I really am communicating with them. For example, I had a lady who she wanted to speak with her mom, and I kept seeing this piece of lace in my head, and I didn't really know what it meant, and I kept seeing it, so I knew it was important. And I said, I keep seeing this small piece of lace. Well, she completely broke down because her mom always carried a lace handkerchief. So that was her mom's way of telling her, yes, I am really here.
Interesting. What kind of reaction did they tell you when, you know, the session has finished? Obviously, you know, they've been thunderstruck, I guess, in some respects. But what do they say to you?
They're very grateful. They're always thanking me. You know, they always thank me, and I'm grateful to them to share that experience with them because it was an honor that they came to me. But usually it's an emotional one because, like the lady with the mother with the lace handkerchief, she had been wanting to communicate with her mom for a long time. She missed her. They were best friends, and when she knew that her mother really was communicating with me, it was just like this pent up emotion that just poured out of her, and it was like a release. And I was glad that she got that because clearly she needed it. She needed to know her mom was okay. Her mom was happy with her life at that point, and it was just like a relief to her that her mom, her spirit was still. We always believe the spirit lives on. We're taught that as part of, like, you know, Judeo-Christian, you know, the spirit lives on. But to really have something like that happen, where it was demonstrable proof to her that her mom was there, there was no way I was going to know about a scrap of lace. But something like that was so important to her because it was so specific to her mom that it was just, you know, it was overwhelming, I think, for her. But it was a release to her. It was a relief. And I was glad I was able to provide that for her. And she was able to, you know, like, and I know my mom's okay now. And you know, it was contentment for her.
Wow. And once someone has communicated with someone like that, the mother, do you find that they come back a week or two later wanting to communicate again? Is this kind of something that happens time after time, or not necessarily so?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, no. It's like they got what they needed, and they can move forward. And that's okay, too. But if that's all they needed and they can keep moving forward, well, then they got what they needed. But sometimes people do come back over and over again. The hard part is, you don't, as a medium, like, I have no way of knowing who's going to come through. It isn't necessarily who you want to come through, it's not who I want to come through, who they want to come through. It's like,
right,
you have no, you know, you have no control over who's going to ring your doorbell, you know. And what I say to people is, I'll do my best. I have no control over who's going to come in, but whoever comes in is who obviously you need to hear from. Usually, though, it is the one they want to hear from. And that makes me happy because I want to be able to give them what they, not just what they need, but what they want to. And sometimes it's multiple people that come through. You know, I had a young guy and his grandmother showed up the day before the reading. I knew he was going to have a good reading when she showed up. And she was, like, all primed and ready for him when we had our reading, and it was a good one. But she was with me for a good day beforehand, telling me about him and why he was calling. Why she really, I think, directed him to find me. And, you know, I knew it was going to be a good reading, and it was. And then his wife actually contacted me, and I had a reading with her the same week. So, you know, it could go either way. As long as they're happy, I'm happy.
Yeah, that's really amazing. It's interesting because you say before you every appointment, you kind of open yourself up and you ask yourself something. Tell me what it is you ask yourself. I found this fascinating. Tell me about it.
I always do an open, put myself in a meditative state, and I always say, please allow my body to hear, feel, see, do, and become whatever it needs to help whoever I'm working on, however I'm working on them. And please help me discern my words to communicate what I'm perceiving effectively. Because sometimes it's hard if I see a picture or a scene in my head to describe that in words. And you kind of have to pick and choose what you're describing, and you need to speak and communicate clearly. And I always want to be able to focus in on the right thing and communicate it as best I can. And when I do Reiki as well, or any other energetic medium, I always want my body to help them where I'm channeling the energy. And I had a client that I was working on, and this is the first time I ever said that, as a matter of fact, where my hands felt like on fire to me, but on her, they felt like ice cubes, and she had some kind of inflammatory condition going on in her knees and her back. And when I put my hands on her, to me, they were burning up with warmth. But when I put my hands on her, they felt like ice being applied to the area. And that was the first time I ever said that, and now every single time I always say that. Please open me up to, you know, receive everything that I'm supposed to, and if my body needs to react a certain way, please allow it to. And because sometimes I can pick up pain and certain things energetically from people, even virtually over the phone or over Zoom now, not even in person anymore. And I always want my body to do that because it's only going to help them.
Explain Reiki, how the role that plays in what you do. Fact is, those who don't know what Reiki is, explain that. Go ahead.
Reiki is it's a form of energy medicine, and you channel the energy to the person. You can do it either in person or over distance. When you do it in person, it is it's about an hour long, and you put your hands in certain spots, and you leave them on about 3 minutes per spot, and it's from front and back. And but when you do it distance, obviously it's more abbreviated. And the energy, it's really interesting because the energy that's channeled will go into the person wherever it needs to go. So if you're having a problem with your back, that's where it'll go. If you're having a problem with your knees, that's where it will go. And it's really powerful. When I took the class, I had some back problems about, 7-8 years before. But when I took the class, it was almost like because we did Reiki on each other, it was almost like a jar. I could almost feel her hands weren't touching me, but it was like she was like opening a jar lid that was stuck. And all this, like, I guess, emotions and energy that I had not dealt with kind of poured out of me. And my back felt better than it had in years after getting a Reiki in that class. And it's something that when I do see people in person that I try to incorporate in some of their readings and appointments, because it is just so helpful. It's calming. It's relaxing. There's no talking. They just lay really on the massage table. When I do it over distance, I like to talk to them first and have, whether it's a reading or just a conversation, just to like connect with them, you know, energetically. And it makes the Reiki that much more powerful when I send it over distance. And I personally like to do it at night when they would be asleep, like around midnight, because their body is more open to receiving it at that time. And I just find that it's more effective. And then I get with them the next day. I also scan their body energetically, see what I'm picking up before and after the Reiki. And I send an email. I did have a lady that when I scanned her, I felt, when I got to her throat, when I first scanned her, I felt like there was a ligature around my neck. Like, I felt like I was choking. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And I sent the Reiki. I rescanned her. The energy was better through her neck, but it still wasn't good. And I talked to her the next day. I said, I don't know what's going on with your throat, but you need to have this checked out by a doctor. And sure enough, she had a doctor's appointment the next week. She had polyps on the underside of her vocal cords. So
wow.
it really can be pretty profound. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. I knew she was a smoker because she had told me that previously.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it was the smoking, but she really did have something wrong with her. And thankfully, it got addressed, and she's okay now.
That's amazing. You can do that while the party is mm-hmm. 1,000 miles away from you and sound asleep. You're scanning
mm-hmm.
their body.
Yeah.
You're, really?
Yeah.
I
yep.
presume that the typical person who comes to you wants a reading. Is that, you know, they want to know maybe what's going to happen with their marriage or in their job or something in their life. Would that be about right?
Yes, that's fair. Yep.
And you do that over the telephone with people. Do you get do you connect with them? When you hear their voice, do you start to connect with them? And that's what makes makes you able to do a reading? I find it so mysterious. Explain to me what it's like.
Yes. Even from before, so usually I am I get like a text or an email to set up an appointment. And sometimes it's a call. So as soon as I do, I kind of put myself in a meditative state already when I see it, and I start to try to connect with them immediately to just try to help them in whatever it is. I just say, please let me help them however I can. And a lot of times, though, one of their spirit guides does show up before the reading. So that actually helps me connect with them even more. And it just flows. It's just something now that's very natural. It just flows. It's really hard to explain. When you have like a natural ability to do something, it's kind of hard to explain, but they find me for a reason, and I can connect with them either. I mean, I do a lot of Zoom calls now, too, so it is face-to-face.
Yeah.
But even if it's just a telephone conversation, I can connect with them and just I connect with them actually immediately. And it starts actually when they first reach out to me via email or text or a phone call. That actually begins the process. Or on Facebook.
Let me ask you, if they come to you and say, look, I'm really, I'm perplexed about my job. I'm afraid I'm about to be, let go. I don't know what to do. I mean, that would be a typical example. Mm-hmm. When you do a reading for them, are you honing in on that specific subject? And can you get the answer for them, what they're looking for?
Sometimes I can. A lot of times people are like, I ask them, like, is there something specific you want to ask me, or do you want to get my general impressions first? And usually it's the general impressions first. And when people come to see me, they're generally at a crossroads, whether it's personal or professional. And I can pick up when it's work or not. And usually between my guides and theirs, I get some insight on that. And sometimes you do have to give bad news. And I had a friend that I told him, he was out on medical, and I told him, I said, by the time you're released from your medical, you should have another job lined up because I think you're going to lose your job. And unfortunately, he did. And I also usually will advise people, and this is a general statement, if your intuition is really telling you something, you need to heed it because it's telling you it for a reason. And if you think you might lose your job, well, maybe start looking for another one just to prepare yourself in case something happens, or you can leave and maybe find a better opportunity. But it's always important. Everyone has an intuition. And a lot is made out of women's intuition. Men have intuition too. Women are just better at listening to theirs. Because intuition comes from the heart, and that's where women usually are more in the heart and men are more in their head. And women just listen to their intuition more. But men have it as well. It's just heeding it.
Amazing. Amazing, amazing. We're talking with an amazing lady, Lisa Adornado. I want to point out, she's got a great website, folks. If you're interested in getting in touch with Lisa, I would suggest you go to this website. It's Lisa ADO, that's the first part of her name, psychic.com. So again, it's Lisa ADOPsychic.com. That's her website. Her phone number is listed there. You can get in touch with her. And, you know, she does readings on the telephone. And it doesn't matter where you are. She's in New York, but you might be in California. Like we had somebody waiting to talk to her from Santa Barbara. You know, unfortunately, we're not doing readings on the radio today. We're really finding out information about Lisa and how she does things and works. One other thing I find that's pretty fascinating, you work quite often with law enforcement investigators in cases involving missing persons and homicide victims. Is that right? You find that amazing?
I love it. I love doing that. It's horrific, but it is so satisfying that I can bring some kind of resolution and peace to a family.
Tell me what is it you do? What are the police come to you and ask you to do?
Yeah, they would come to me, and I would sit in meditation. I ask my guys to show me, and I see what I can come up with. The first case I ever really worked, it was a private investigator that I ended up talking with. It was a friend of my cousin's actually in Alabama that was missing. Her name is Lisa as well. And I immediately, as soon as I saw my cousin's post on Facebook, she had been missing her over a year at this point by the time I saw. I got impressions right away. I felt she was hit around the head, and I felt that she had been sexually assaulted. And then I knew she was in the back of a car for about 45 minutes to an hour from her house, and I saw that she was dumped in some kind of water, whether it was a swamp or not, like swampy water. And I saw the letter M, and everything just kind of lined up. And they unfortunately, she has not been found. I don't really think there's anything left to find of her being in Alabama with the wildlife that's there. The person who was the person of interest is now deceased as well. And there was a lot going on in the small town as far as the law enforcement went, unfortunately. The private investigator did search a bunch of places. I was able to narrow it down to one swamp in particular in Alabama, and it was kind of crazy. I kept seeing the letter M. Well, I found a swamp. As soon as I saw it, I knew it was Moats Bay, and that was the M. And then I started seeing this necklace with a sapphire in it. So the sapphire was, like, hazy. I'm like, I have no idea what this means. And I texted the investigator. I said, I keep seeing a sapphire necklace, and I don't know what this means. And I mean, sapphire is September's birthstone, so I didn't know if that was, like, you know, maybe her daughter's birthstone or something, and it was. And then an hour later, she texted me back that there was a road in that swamp called September Road. Like everything was, it was just like completely profound. And so I get great satisfaction doing that to give some kind of peace or resolution to the family. I think closure is a term thrown around that's overrated, but whatever I can do.
Amazing story. Lisa, I wish we had more time. We've run through the half hour. Again, our guest is Lisa Adornato. Her website, again, as I pointed out, let me tell you this website because it's full of information, and this is how you can get in touch with Lisa if you're interested. It's LisaADOPsychic.com. LisaADOPsychic.com. Lisa, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for illuminating us about what it's like to have someone with your amazing abilities and how you help people. All right? I thank you. Really appreciate it. Very, very interesting indeed.
Thank you for having me.
Lisa,
thank you.
You are more than welcome. Thank you, ma'am. It's been great. Very interesting indeed. Hope you enjoyed this, everybody. I love talking to people who have these abilities. They're rare, and when you talk to somebody who's really good, I find it amazing. I hope you do, too. So that's it. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Yes, we do. I'm Doug Llewellyn. See you next time. Till then, take care, everybody. Bye for now.